The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 434 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That's the handle for the Sports Report, TheSportsRPT on Twitter. The weather here in southeast Pennsylvania was perfect on Sunday. I'm about an hour from Philly. It was gorgeous. So you know what I did? I sat on my couch all day long and watched the NFL. That's what I did. And I wasn't disappointed. The NFL showed yet again why it's the ratings king in the U.S., and nothing else is close in the world of sports. Counting the Denver win over Carolina last Thursday, what a game that was, there were four games decided by 1 point, two games decided by 2 points, and another game that went to overtime. How awesome is that? The NFL is back, my friends. Cue the hallelujah chorus. I joked on Twitter, better invention, the wheel or the red zone channel. That is awesome. You get to see every single touchdown. And there were some fantastic finishes on Sunday. I'll break down all of the thrilling action and give you some injury news concerning a starting quarterback. The public likes the Packers to win the Super Bowl, but the odds makers favor another team. Find out who coming up. It wasn't a good weekend in college football, blowouts palooza, but there are a few games to touch on. How about Oklahoma State getting ripped off by the refs? I mean, they got totally hosed by the officials in that game against Central Michigan. So we'll get into that. Couple shout-outs coming up later in the show. It's all on episode 434 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Keep those five-star reviews coming on iTunes. And again, you can listen on The Grizz. That is GrizzlyProductions.tv. We start with the primetime matchup, New England at Arizona. No Brady. No problem. It was the Jimmy Garoppolo show out in the desert. He hit Chris Hogan for a 37-yard touchdown midway through the first quarter. That had to help his confidence. He looked like Brady right there. Now, it was a blown coverage, which certainly helps. I didn't think that the odds makers showed the Pats much respect. I know Brady and Gronk were out, and they were missing guys up front on the O-line. But that line moved up to 9 points. So everybody was on Arizona at home. That's a boatload of points to give up in the NFL, especially to a team as well coached as the Patriots. Arizona did come back to take a 21-20 lead on a touchdown catch by Larry Fitzgerald, number 100 for him. What a career. And that was one for his highlight reel. An over-the-shoulder beauty with under 10 minutes to play. He had 8 catches, 81 yards, 2 scores. Just another day at the office for Fitzgerald. New England answered with a 61-yard drive, ending in a 32-yard field goal to make it 23-21 with 3:45 to go. Another great ending. Plenty of time on the clock for Carson Palmer, who's coming off a big year. They got in position for a 47-yard field goal for the win, but Chandler Catanzaro hooked it with 41 seconds remaining. The snap was low, but I thought Drew Butler, the holder, did a good job of getting the ball down. Kick, no good. Win for New England. No Brady, no Gronk. On the road against a good team in prime time. That's impressive right there. You can't ever count out the hoodie. Bill Belichick gets it done again. Garoppolo, 24 of 33, 264, one touchdown, no interceptions. Arizona has a really good defense, too. And those numbers are pretty nice for a guy making his debut like that. New England also missing Rob Ninkovich, and I mentioned two starters on the offensive line. That is a good road win. We had a Victor Cruz sighting in Arlington. He's been out since 2014 with knee and calf injuries. Cruz caught a three-yard touchdown pass with 6 minutes left, and then he broke out his patented salsa dance with Big Blue up 20-19 on Dallas. NFC East battle week one. The Cowboys had a shot, but, and yes, this is a Fat Albert size but, Terrence Williams did not go out of bounds around the 40-yard line, and the clock ran out on the Cowboys. Unreal. You have to understand the situation. So many guys, and I see it in all sports nowadays, they just go out and play. They don't think about the game. They just go out there and play. I see in baseball, guys trying to stretch a single into a double when their team's down 3 runs in the 8th inning. Or guys trying to steal third base when you're down 2 runs late in the game and your run doesn't matter. People just don't think about the game. Missing cutoff guys, stuff like that. A pitcher walks 2 batters in a row and you swing at the first pitch. Think about the game. GOOB stands for Get Out of Bounds. G-O-O-B, GOOB. And you know what GOOB is short for? Goober. Very frustrating finish if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. Probably calling Williams other names besides Goober. Dan Bailey had made field goals from 56 and 54 in that game, so you have to give him a shot there. It would have been from about 57. Williams had a brain cramp at the worst possible time. So how did the rookies fare? Dak Prescott, so much talk about him in the preseason. 25 of 45, 277, no touchdowns. Ezekiel Elliott averaged just 2.5 yards a carry. The young buck out of Ohio State, 20 carries, only 51 yards for Elliott and a touchdown. And the Cowboys are known for having a really, really good offensive line. The Giants tried to revamp their defense through a free agency and also through the draft. Nice job, week one. Eli threw for 207, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Ben McAdoo gets win number one as head coach. Jets also in a 1-point game. This one was tied all the way. The Bengals, who we never question in the regular season, it's the postseason where they always have issues. Bengals took the lead for good with under a minute left on Mike Nugent's 47-yard field goal, made it 23-22 Cincinnati. Is it just me, or does it seem like Mike Nugent has been kicking in the NFL for about 40 years? Josh Shaw iced it by picking off Ryan Fitzpatrick. He only threw for 189 yards in this game. Now, a missed extra point and a blocked field goal from only 22 yards, a chip shot. Those opportunities came back to haunt the Jets in a 1-point loss. Andy Dalton was sacked a career-high 7 times, but he threw for 366 yards, including a 54-yard TD to A.J. Green over the middle, who beat Revis up top. Bengals had no ground game at all. Matt Forte had a nice day in his Jets debut, 22 carries, 96 yards, 59 yards through the air. And that's the thing about Forte. He's a very versatile back. He can catch it. New York was up in the final minutes, could not seal the deal. You get all those sacks and you still lose the game. Seahawks were almost everybody's pick in suicide polls this week. Seattle was a double-digit favorite over the visiting Dolphins. The Seattle defense was outstanding as usual, except for a drive in the fourth quarter. But the offense could not do anything until it mattered most. trailing by four with 4 minutes to play. Russell Wilson to the rescue again. A 14-play, 75-yard touchdown drive capped by a short pass to Doug Baldwin for the win, 12-10. The Baldwin catch came with just 30 seconds to go. Hope you took the under here. 12-10, the final. Wilson and Baldwin hooked up for 22 yards on 4th-and-4 on that drive. Clutch play right there. And you had to know as a defense, he's looking for Baldwin, who's coming off a big-time season. This is the 19th comeback victory in the fourth quarter or overtime for Wilson. And it's not like he's an old quarterback either. And he was on a bum ankle. Now, what you hear out of Seattle is that he is going to play in their next game, but he was not at 100%. The guy's simply a winner. Has a knack for making plays late in games. Miami had just 214 total yards, and 86 of that came on their fourth quarter touchdown drive. I picked Seattle to win the Super Bowl, and as I'm watching this game and I'm seeing the score on the ticker, I'm thinking, there you go, Paul. The human jinx strikes again. You pick them to win the Super Bowl, and they're going to get upset as a double-digit fave in week one at home against the Dolphins. But they managed to come back and win it. The big area of concern for Seattle is that offensive line. Are they going to be able to protect Russell Wilson? Are they going to be able to open up some holes for a ground game? Because they didn't do a whole lot in week one. We're just getting warmed up here on episode 434 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on the Grizz and in the podcast section of iTunes. Today's show is brought to you by our great sponsor, iHome. They've been with the podcast for a long, long time. iHome has a new WeatherTough line of Bluetooth speakers. They are waterproof, rust-proof, and military standard shockproof. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality, and that is a winning combination. iHome also offers a full line of quality headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just for hanging out, chilling at home, and relaxing. Go to the website, iHomeAudio.com, look at all of their great products. You can also check out their apps and accessories, and iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. The sound quality cannot be beat. The website again, iHomeAudio.com. We still have a lot more NFL games to cover here on episode 434 of the Sports Report. Jack Del Rio. Everybody's talking about Jack right now. He rolled the dice and the Raiders hit the jackpot down in New Orleans. What a decision with only 47 seconds to go. Del Rio opts to go for two. An extra point would have tied the game. Says, nope. Went for the gusto, and it paid off. I mean, you almost never see this in the National Football League. You see it in high school. You see it in college. Rarely in the NFL. But Michael Crabtree caught a fade for 2 points and a 35-34 lead. Crabtree talking about not thinking about what's going on. Then he makes a bonehead move by heaving the football up in the air. That got him a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct flag. Again, think the game. Don't just play the game. Drew Brees had one more chance. The Saints got to Oakland's 43-yard line. However, Will Lutz missed a 61-yard field goal at the horn, and it had the distance from 61, but it was wide left. Oakland held on for the win despite giving up 507 yards. Brees threw for 423 and four scores, including a franchise record 98-yarder to Brandon Cooks. Anybody thinks that he's getting old or he's washed up or he's done, I mean, you are clueless. You can still play the game. Raiders were down 24-10 in the third after that bomb from Brees to Cooks. So a really nice comeback here. And you knew this was a defense optional game. 993 total yards. They almost got to a grand. Oh, and 14 penalties for a .141 on the Raiders. Some things just never change. That wasn't the only comeback. No lead is safe in the NFL. We know parity is king. Kansas City down 24-3 to San Diego. The Chiefs rallied to win in overtime, 33-27. This was a wild one for Big Red Andy Reid. It was still 27-10 Chargers with less than 10 minutes remaining. A brutal loss here for San Diego. Alex Smith's two-yard touchdown run was the game winner in OT. He passed for 363 and two scores. Normally, you think of Alex Smith and you think, what? Game manager, right? He's not going to turn it over, not going to lose you the game. You don't think of 363 yards, but that's what happened against the Chargers. This is the largest comeback in Kansas City's 56-year franchise history. Down 21, and they get the job done. And Kansas City is without Jamaal Charles and Justin Houston due to injuries. For San Diego, Keenan Allen went down in the second quarter. That is a crushing blow. Hate to see that. The Lions nearly blew a 21-3 lead at Indianapolis. It was even at 28 when Theo Riddick scored on a 13-yard touchdown pass from Matthew Stafford. What a game he had. I'll give you his numbers in a second. The extra point, however, by Matt Prater was no good. So then the Colts drive 75 yards. Andrew Luck tosses his second fourth quarter touchdown pass to Jack Doyle. Jack Doyle? How many of you, admit it, raise your hand, how many of you were scrambling Monday morning to pick up Jack Doyle on your fantasy team after you saw he caught two touchdowns? The extra point was good, and Indy was up 35-34. 35 seconds left. You're thinking, are they going to blow this game because of the extra point? Luck, by the way, 385 yards and four touchdowns for everybody out there that thought, you know, he was overrated or, you know, wasn't good enough anymore. It's amazing people just, you know, make these decisions overnight. You know, because a lot of it's social media, Twitter, Facebook, instant access to everything. No one has patience anymore. You know, it's all, what have you done for me lately? We forget about what people have done in the past. It's only a couple seasons ago, Luck was lighting up the NFL. Neither team plays defense, though, and even though only 35 seconds were left, the Lions had a shot here. They go 50 yards for a game-winning 43-yard field goal attempt by Prater. He redeemed himself, and Detroit won 39-35. There was a safety as time expired as the ball was getting thrown all over the place. Crazy play, kind of like a Stanford band on the field play there with Cal. But 39-35 was the final. Stafford, 31 of 39, 340 yards and three touchdowns. A big, big week one for Stafford and Andrew Luck. But consider the defenses here, right? Not a lot being played. The Colts are really banged up in the secondary. Green Bay at Jacksonville was entertaining as well. You had, on one hand, the perennial power in Green Bay, the team you always expect to be there at the end. And then on the other hand, you have the up-and-comer, the new kid on the block. Please, please don't play any of their music or I will leave your party immediately. You had Aaron Rodgers against Blake Bortles. Rodgers threw a ridiculous 29-yard touchdown pass to Adams right before halftime. A defender is on his back. He's pulling him down from behind, and Rodgers still puts it on the money. Tight window, laser throw. What arm strength right there. That's just God-given talent. Very few quarterbacks can even think about that. Second half was a field goal fest. Jacksonville trailed 27-23 late. on 4th and 1 from the Green Bay 14. Now, you got to go here. Field goal does you no good. You're down 4. Bortles throws a wide receiver screen to Hearns, and it loses a yard. How do you throw the football at the line of scrimmage or a step back of the line of scrimmage on 4th and 1? Game over. And when you do that, you deserve to lose. I mean, you got to throw something past the first down marker there. Jeez, oh, that just drives fans crazy. You have, let's say, a 3rd and 5, and you throw a 3-yard pass. Or you have 3rd and 9, you throw it 7 yards. Fans just go nuts. The Jags are a team that's worth watching, though, this season. Good to see Jordy Nelson back on the field from the ACL injury. 6 catches, only 32 yards, but he did have a touchdown. Rodgers had 3 combined touchdowns. Jameis Winston topped that with 4 TD passes. The Bucs were my favorite play on the board on Sunday, getting 2.5 points at Atlanta. I mentioned in my NFL preview special, and you can go back and listen to that on iTunes in the podcast section there or on grizzlyproductions.tv. You want to hear my NFL preview. But I said I thought that Tampa Bay was going in the right direction. They were getting points here. I'm not big on Atlanta. Tampa Bay got a big touchdown pass to Charles Sims right before halftime. Those are demoralizing plays. They went up 31-13 in the third quarter. What an individual effort by Sims, though, right before halftime on that touchdown. They held on 31-24. New head coach Dirk Cutter got his first win. Falcons settled for too many field goals. You know, it's about getting 7, not 3 in the NFL. Devontae Freeman only ran for 20 yards. Remember, this guy exploded on the scene last season? Well, of course, I pick him for one of my fantasy football teams, and what do I get? 20 yards. 20 more than I ran for on Sunday. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. Story of my life. Vikings defense gave them not one, but 2 touchdowns in a 25-16 win at Tennessee. Minnesota was down 10-0 at halftime. Eric Kendricks had a 77-yard pick six in the third quarter. They added a 24-yard fumble return in the fourth, and that was that. Adrian Peterson limited to 31 yards on 19 carries. And again, this is no surprise what teams are going to do. Load up the box. 8-9 guys in the box all year against Minnesota. Make the quarterback beat you. 36-year-old Sean Hill started. He was 18-33, 236. Sam Bradford was acquired in a trade with Philadelphia for a first-round pick, but he did not play. I guess just couldn't get ready in time. We'll see if Mike Zimmer sticks with Sean Hill or if he goes with Bradford week 2. Not much offense in the Ravens-Bills game down in the Charm City of Baltimore. Mike Wallace caught a 66-yard TD pass for a 10-0 second quarter lead. And that's all the Ravens needed. 13-7 the final. Buffalo had a measly 160 total yards. Ouch. Neither team ran it well at all. LeSean McCoy averaged 3.6 a carry. The combination of Forsett and West, not much better. In fact, West was worse, 2.7 a pop for him. Forsett, 4.1. The Texans can play some defense, too. They shut out the Bears in the second half for a 23-14 win. Brock Osweiler threw for 231, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception in his debut with Houston coming over from the Broncos. Lamar Miller, another new addition to that team, ran the ball for 106 yards. He can be a workhorse for you. So the new faces for the Texans doing pretty well. And you still have DeAndre Hopkins. And that is always a good target to look for. Eagles won their season opener 29-10 over the visiting Browns. Big injury news came out today. RG3 has a fractured bone in his left shoulder. He will miss at least the next 8 games. He is on IR. He was 12 of 26. Now, that's slightly deceiving. There were three drops in the game. Only threw for 190 yards, one interception, no touchdowns. The interception was actually tipped. So he struggled, but he doesn't have a whole lot to work with. The Browns are terrible. I mean, they are just pathetic with a capital P. I don't know how many games you're going to win. I mean, really. If they get to five wins, that might be surprising. They are really, really bad. 37-year-old Josh McCown will take over now at quarterback for RG3. The rookie Carson Wentz is all the rage here in Philadelphia. Everybody's talking about him now. 22 of 37, 278, two touchdowns, no interceptions for the number two overall pick out of North Dakota State. And he was hurt his last year in college, missed a lot of games, and got hurt again in the preseason. So really did not play a whole lot coming in, but he looked poised. He looked calm, wasn't rattled at all. Said after the game, he never gets nervous. He listens to worship music before the game. Forget about Metallica or rap. He's listening to some music you might hear at church. Whatever works, buddy. I mean, he played well. He's a big guy. He didn't run in this game, but he can. I mean, he's not Randall Cunningham or Michael Vick or vintage RG3, but for his size, he's a better runner than people think. Jordan Matthews, seven catches, 114 yards and a score. Nelson Aguilar had a 35-yard touchdown catch, and on that play, he beat Joe Hayden, who is one of the elite corners in the NFL. Ryan Matthews ran it for 77 yards and a score. Good bounce. I thought Doug Peterson did a nice job with the play calling in game one as a head coach. And listen to this. This is how you know the Chip Kelly era is officially over. The Eagles held the football for 39 minutes. What? I mean, Eagles fans had to be shocked compared to the Chip Kelly era. The Birds outgained the Browns 403-288. And the time of possession almost double. So not perfect for the Eagles, but considering Peterson in his first game as head coach, Wentz, a rookie out there, his first start, nice win for the Eagles. Tough to beat anybody by 19 points in the NFL. You see all these close scores that I was talking about. You had four games decided by 1 point. You had a couple more decided by two. You had an overtime game. But again, you can't go nuts because it is the Cleveland Browns, and I think they are the worst team in the National Football League. This is episode 434 of the Sports Report. You can weigh in on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Agree, disagree, comments, welcome on Twitter at the Sports RPT. All right, let's see what's happening out in Vegas. The Patriots open the season as consensus Super Bowl favorites, but the betting public is going in another direction, siding with the Packers. Patriots 6-1 to win the Super Bowl, even though Tom Brady is missing the first of four games while serving a suspension for Deflategate. However, significantly more bets have been placed on the Packers, who are part of that second tier of Super Bowl favorites. They're 8-1, so not too far behind. William Hill's Nevada book has taken nearly twice as many Super Bowl bets on Green Bay as New England, and other books out there are the same way. Seattle, I mentioned, my pick to win the Super Bowl is at 8-1. Arizona 8-1, Steelers 10-1, Panthers 12-1, the defending champs, the Broncos 25-1. In April, you remember, an appeals court sided with the NFL and restored Brady's suspension. Odds makers dropped the Patriots back slightly, but by mid-June, New England had reemerged as the consensus Super Bowl favorite. This was the first time in 11 years that New England was an underdog in its opener. They were at Arizona Sunday night, and what did they do as an underdog, a 9-point dog? They win outright. Just get it done. Vikings and Cowboys, popular bets in the preseason, both lost their quarterbacks at the end of August and saw their odds change. Teddy Bridgewater suffered that serious knee injury during practice. He's out for the season. And the Superbook moved Minnesota's Super Bowl odds from 20-1 to 30-1 after that injury. However, this is interesting. After the Vikings traded for Sam Bradford, their odds went back to 20-1. So 20-1 to 30-1, back to 20-1. Apparently Westgate has more confidence in Sam Bradford than me. That's for sure. Not a big Bradford fan. Bradford did not start at Tennessee, as I mentioned. Sean Hill got the nod there. And then Dallas's Tony Romo, who missed the bulk of last season with a back injury, was hurt again in the preseason. He's going to miss several weeks. Cowboys were listed at 16-1 prior to the injury to Romo. They started the season at 25-1. The Texans, Giants, Raiders saw their odds improve the most during the offseason. Texans went from 40-1 to 16-1. How about that? Giants 40-1 to 18-1, and the Raiders 50-1 to 20-1. Those are some significant movements right there, and all three of those teams won on Sunday. How about that? This is episode 434 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. With you every Monday, 30 to 40 minutes, high energy, fast paced sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. All right, real quick little college football here. Not a good week, a lot of blowouts. Big 12 and the Mid-American Conferences announced that the officiating and instant replay crews who worked that Oklahoma State Central Michigan game have been suspended for two games. The MAC suspended the eight officials who worked that game after they incorrectly awarded Central Michigan an extra play after time had expired. And you know the rest. I'm sure you saw this one by now. The Chippewas won it on a Hail Mary and then a lateral for a touchdown. One of the craziest plays you will ever see, and it was for the win. The Big 12 suspended its two-man instant replay crew for two games and will not allow that group to work a bowl game this season. Central Michigan's Corey Willis grabbed a lateral from fellow receiver Jesse Kroll at the 12-yard line after the Hail Mary and raced into the end zone, no time on the clock, and Oklahoma State loses in Stillwater 30-27. It never should have happened. MAC referee Tim O'Day said after the game, Central Michigan was wrongly given an untimed down, which led to that final play. Here's the deal. Oklahoma State tried to kill the clock with 4 seconds left by just throwing a pass away. They were penalized for intentional grounding, which is a loss of down. The game can't end on an accepted penalty, except if the penalty involves a loss of down, which was the case in this game. It should have been over. Instead, Central Michigan got one more play and wins the game with that Hail Mary and the lateral. The wide receiver who caught the pass was falling backward. He was almost down, and he throws it back, and the next guy runs it in for a touchdown. Crazy, crazy play. Brutal loss for Oklahoma State, and they are now out of the top 25. Bad week of college football, as I mentioned. Mismatches everywhere, but we can't complain. Week one was terrific. Clemson only beat Troy by 6. What's that all about? 30-24. Georgia barely got by Nichols, 26-24. Nichols was up in the third quarter here. Arkansas and TCU turned out to be a good one. The Razorbacks upset TCU 41-38 in double overtime. TCU was ranked number 15. Austin Allen ran 5 yards for the game-winning touchdown. Tough start for the Big 12 Conference. Oklahoma gets upset by Houston. Oklahoma State gets screwed by the officials. And TCU, a top 20 team, gets knocked off by Arkansas. And the people who are ripping the SEC, I would pump the brakes a little bit there. Might want to pipe down with that one. So Arkansas knocks off TCU. Episode 434 of the Sports Report. Before we wrap up, just two quick shout-outs here. First to Stan Wawrinka. He beat number one seed Novak Djokovic in four sets. He lost the first set to the Joker and then won three sets in a row for his first U.S. Open championship and his third Grand Slam. At 31, Wawrinka is the oldest U.S. Open men's champion since 1970, as if 31 is old. You know, it's fun. We refer to these guys as old. He's 31 years old. Amazing. And then Dustin Johnson wins the BMW championship by three shots over Paul Casey. Johnson finished in style. He posted a final round 5-under 67 for the victory. He has been on fire this year. It seems like every other time he goes out, he wins. So two quick shout outs there. You can comment on all of these stories on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter, TheSportsRPT. I will be back next Monday with a brand new show. Keep the tweets coming. Keep the 5-star reviews coming on iTunes. I'm Paul Roberts. This is The Sports Report on The Grizz and iTunes.